This is the Old Radio Show's podcast.
Hand over those papers. We're going to show them all to your aunt.
As you wish, Mr. Merriwell. But perhaps you'd like to see what I have in my pocket.
This.
A gun.
Don't take a step toward me. Yeah, that's better. Don't move. I just as soon shoot as not, you know. It might save me a good deal of trouble.
What are you going to do?
Keep you out of the way until the deal is closed.
And after that?
I'll be on my way out of the country. So long, gentlemen. Too bad you had to interfere. Too bad for you.
NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past, an exciting past, a romantic past, the era of the horse and carriage, gaslit streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, The Unreasonable Ant. Our story today begins in a restaurant in the small town of Westmont, some 10 miles from New Haven. William March, a young business executive, is seated at a corner table, deep in conversation with an older man. The older man leans forward eagerly.
Well, how about it, William? Did you get her to agree to sell the factory?
Not yet, Mr. Maxwell. You know how Aunt Hester is. She's dead set on saving the business for me and her other nephew, Norman.
But you said you didn't want a share of the business, didn't you?
I certainly don't. So many other things to do in life without being tied down to a soap factory. To be honest with you, Mr. Maxwell, I've always hated the business.
Well, then what about this other fellow, your cousin?
Norman, I don't know. We've never been very close, but I doubt if he wants to run the business either when he gets out of school.
Well, Norman's still in school?
Yes, he graduates from Yale this month.
Well, if you don't want the factory, and you feel Norman doesn't either, I don't see why she doesn't sell and get it over with. What's the hitch?
You don't know Aunt Hester. Sometimes I think she's a little crazy where the business is concerned. All my life, she's been drumming it into my head that someday I'll take it over and run it as she has all these years.
Frankly, William, I'm disappointed.
Oh.
I'm offering a good, solid business proposition. I'll buy the factory for $100,000 cold cash.
I know, Mr. Maxwell, I know. I've been working hard on Aunt Hester. Maybe I can persuade her yet.
Well, young man, I'm getting impatient.
Just a few months
long. A few months? Impossible. Why, I can expand my own factory by that time and put the March Company out of business before the end of the year. No, my boy, I've given you too much time already.
Well, how much longer can you wait?
Until Saturday.
Saturday? But that's only 3 days.
That's my proposition. Take it or leave it, just as you see fit.
All right, Mr. Maxwell. I'll take it.
And it had better be early Saturday, too. I'm going to the Harvard-Yale Regatta in the afternoon.
The Regatta? That's the answer.
What's that?
My cousin Norman, rose number 5 oar in the Yale crew. Of course. Why didn't I think of it before?
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about, William. But then, I don't really care as long as you produce by Saturday. If you don't, the deal is off.
Don't worry, Mr. Maxwell. I will. The Yale crew. That's it. Of course.
All right, gang. Oars up. Stand by the land. All right, climb ashore. Come on, fellas. Let's go. Now hoist the sail. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
All right, come on. Let's get the sail down the rack.
Sail down.
Whew. Oh, I'm glad this workout is over.
So am I, Fresh. We did pretty well, though.
Well enough to beat Harvard if we can keep it up on Saturday.
You know, my March is doing a terrific job at number 5. Too bad we lose him this year.
Hey, did I hear my name?
Oh, hello, Norman. Bart was saying it's too bad you graduate this June. We'll have a tough time filling that number 5 slot next year.
Oh, I don't know. A couple of boys in the freshman boat who look pretty good to me.
Oh, Frank.
Well, hi there, Enza. I didn't know you were coming down. You just missed the workout.
Not quite. I saw that last sprint. Beautiful work, boys. Oh, hello, Norman. I'm looking for you.
For me, Enza?
Yes, one of the boys from Dorothy Hall said to give you this telegram.
Oh, thanks. Let's see. Well, I'll be... Bad news, Norman?
No, nothing. It's from Aunt Hester. She says, come to Westmont at once. Very urgent. That's all.
Well, that sounds serious.
No, not from Aunt Hester. I often get these. The poor old girl's cranky and eccentric. She sort of enjoys ordering people around.
But it might be serious this time, Norman.
Yes, like that story of the boy who cried wolf once too often.
No, that's why I always go there when she asks me to. She thinks I'm afraid of her.
Well, if you're going at all, you better leave right away. Don't forget the race. It's tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I can hire a carriage in town, can I? Or say, how would you folks like to come along? We could drive out in your carriage, Inza.
Sounds like fun. Oh, but your aunt, maybe we'd only be in the way.
Nonsense. It would do her good to meet some young people for a change. What do you say?
Well, it's up to Frank.
How about it, Frank? Shall we go along?
Well, why not? That is, if we can get permission. Let's find out.
Hello there. Well, here we are.
My, what a beautiful place, Norman.
Well, it sure is.
Yes, Aunt Esther's proud of the way the grounds are kept. Oh, here comes William. Out of the house to greet us. Hi there.
Hello, Norman. I'm glad you came so quickly. I see you have company.
Friends of mine from New Haven.
Oh?
Miss Burridge. Mr. Hodge.
How do you do?
Mr. Merriwell.
How do you do?
My cousin, William March.
How are you?
Welcome to Westmont, all of you. Norman, you'd better go in and see Aunt Hester. She's been pacing the carpet all day waiting for you.
Oh, what's the trouble with the old girl this time?
You'd better see for yourself.
Perhaps we should wait in the carriage for you, Norman.
No. Come on inside. I want you to meet Aunt Hester.
Whatever you say.
Look, just a word of warning. Stay off the subject of sports when you meet her. Particularly the crew race tomorrow. She has a phobia about it.
All right, we'll remember. Can I help you out of the carriage, Inza?
It was nice of you to bring these young people, Norman. We seldom get to see many young faces here.
I thought you'd like them, Aunt Hester. Here, Miss Burridge, try this chair.
Thank you. This is a lovely place. I'm glad you like it, my dear. Later on, I want you to see our garden.
I'd love it. Oh, Kitty, aren't you lovely? Come on, Kitty. Come on. Out of my lap. That's it. I love cats.
You'll find Spy quite a cat, Miss Burridge. As you can guess from his name, he's a snoop. Follows all of us around every chance he gets.
Spy is a fine, intelligent animal. Sometimes I wish my two nephews had as much common sense. Now, Norman, I'm sure our guests will excuse us for a little while. I won't have a talk with you.
Very well, Auntie, but...
Well, go right ahead, Norman. We can entertain ourselves.
My goodness, of course they can. Come along to the library, Norman.
Very well, Aunt Hester.
And you too, William. This is an extremely grave matter. Very much annoyed.
Yes, Auntie, I'm coming.
Now that we three are alone, Norman, I must demand an explanation.
Explanation, Aunt Hester? Of what?
You know very well what, young man. Look at this newspaper.
She means the feature story on the front page, Norman.
Let me see. Oh.
You will kindly explain yourself, Norman. What is this nonsense about the Harvard-Yale crew race?
Whoever thought they'd run it as a feature story?
William, please do not interrupt. Explain yourself, Norman.
I'm afraid there's nothing to explain, Aunt Hester.
This story, if I interpret it correctly, says that you are a member of the Yale crew.
That's right, I am.
Well, I never...
I know you didn't want me to be on the crew, but... Well, gosh, Aunt Hester, going out for sports is part of college life. I was good enough to row number 5 in that crew, and I'm proud of it.
Norman, I forbid you to do it.
Oh, but tomorrow's the end of the season. After that, I won't be able to take part in any college sport.
You've already finished your season, young man.
No, but the big race
tomorrow...
There will
be no big race for you. I've made up my mind, and I will not be dissuaded.
Gosh, Norman,
William, I ask you to let Norman speak for himself.
Yes, Aunt Hester.
That's better. Now, Norman, do I make myself clear?
I understand, all right. But perhaps you don't really understand. I'm going to row in that race tomorrow.
I forbid it.
I'm sorry, Aunt Hester. I'd like to obey you, but I can't this time. The other boys, the whole school, for that matter, are counting on me.
They can get a substitute.
Oh, but they can't. Crew racing isn't like a lot of other sports. Once a boat is set, it has to stay that way. We've been working hard to win that race, and without me, well... Well, I can't let them down, that's all.
You can, and you will. Oh, it must have been an act of providence that this story appeared in the newspapers. It's a warning. If you take part in that race tomorrow, something is sure to happen to you. Just as it happened to James.
Oh, but that was 40 years ago, Aunt Hester. Just because your fiancé was killed in a boating accident way back then...
Norman!
Well, there's no reason why I can't enter this race. It's true. The whole trouble is you've never been able to get over that accident. You think every time one of us does something, we'll have an accident, too.
Norman, I won't have you speaking this way. I forbid you to enter the race tomorrow. That's all there is to it.
And if I do enter the race?
Then I'll cut you off without a penny.
I see.
Oh, Norman, my boy, I have no wish to be harsh with you. This is for your own good. I'm overlooking the fact that you've deceived me all these years about your athletic activities. It'd be enough if you will withdraw now. quite willing to forget everything else. I only wish to protect you.
I don't want to be protected.
Very well. I'll give you 1 hour to arrive at a decision. Think it over carefully. Now go back to your guests. And remember, just 1 hour to decide.
That's it, Frank. I've never seen Aunt Hester so upset. She gave me what amounts to an ultimatum.
Well, that's a shame, Norman.
What beats me is how you managed to keep this a secret from her all this time.
Yes, Norman. Didn't she read about you in the newspapers before this?
Well, I can explain that, Miss Burridge. I always removed the sports section from the newspaper before she saw it.
That's right. William always got the paper first.
Besides, Aunt Hester never looked at the sports section. She has no interest whatsoever in sports. Oh, I'm sorry about that feature story, Norm. I should have spotted it.
Well, it wasn't your fault. Anyway, she would have been suspicious if the front page of the paper were missing.
But now you've got an important decision to make.
And not much time to make it in, either. Well, what would you do in my place, William?
Well, if you really want to know, I've been under the old girl's thumb longer than you have. Wish I'd had a chance to make a decision like this 15 years ago.
You think I ought to refuse her?
Well, it depends on how much the factory means to you. As far as Aunt Hester's concerned, she could sell out now and live off the money for the rest of her life. But then there'd be nothing left for you.
Or you, either.
Oh, I'm all right. Since I've been managing the factory for her, I've saved enough to go into my own business.
Well, then there's no real problem. I don't want to manage a soap factory all my life, heaven knows. And well, I've been offered a coaching job at Fardale Academy when I graduate from Yale.
Well, I didn't know that, Norman. Are you thinking of taking it?
I'd like to, Frank. The only thing that stood in the way was Aunt Hester and her soap factory, but
maybe
if I defy her...
You'd be too hasty, though.
He's right, Norman. This means your whole future. Some future I'd have under the domination of a stubborn old woman.
Norman.
Well, it's true. I don't think I'm going to have much trouble deciding... In fact, I think I'll go in and tell her right now that I'm going to be pulling that number 5 oar in the race tomorrow.
Preposterous. Norman, do you know what you're saying?
You wanted my answer? There it is.
You dare to cross me?
No, it isn't that, Aunt Hester. Try to understand. A man has to stand on his own 2 feet sometime. I'd rather take a job as a coach than spend the next 20 years helping William run the factory.
I see. William...
Yes, Aunt Hester?
This Mr. Maxwell, is he still interested in buying the factory?
Why, yes, I believe so.
His offer is $100,000, isn't it?
Well, it was last year. I doubt if we can get any more than half that amount now. But anything you realize from it, Aunt Hester, is all your own. I don't want any share of it.
It's very generous of you, William. $50,000, eh? It'd be enough. Yes, it would indeed.
Well, shall I get in touch with him?
If you will, and at once. Instruct him to draw up the necessary papers, and I'll sign them tomorrow morning. After all, I held on to the factory only for the sake of you boys. A lot of thanks I get for my pains. I want to dispose of it as soon as possible now.
I'll get in touch with him at once.
William may have his faults, but he's a good deal more respectful than some people I might mention.
I'm sorry I've displeased you, Aunt Hester. I suppose I'd better be getting back to New Haven. It's late.
You'll do nothing of the kind. The very least you can do now is stay here and witness the sale in the morning.
Oh, my guests...
I've always been noted for my hospitality, Norman. Your guests are quite welcome to spend the night.
Very well, Aunt Hester.
At least try to be more thoughtful of their comfort than you've been of mine.
Good morning, Frank. Bart?
Good morning, Ilsa. Have breakfast yet?
Oh, an hour ago. I've been out here enjoying this beautiful garden.
Well, we just finished breakfast ourselves. Oh, I see your friend Spy's following you around again.
Isn't he cute? Say good morning, Spy. Come on.
Meow.
Meow. He's taking quite a fancy to you, Ilsa.
Between you and me, I think he likes everybody. By the way, Frank, what time are we leaving? Don't forget the crew ring.
Oh, don't worry. Here comes Norman. We can find out now.
Oh, good morning, Ilsa. Sleep well last night?
Wonderfully, thanks.
We were just wondering about getting back in time for the race, Norman.
I just had another pleasant little chat with Aunt Hester. They'll be signing the paper as a 10 this morning. After that, we can leave.
Oh, good. Of course, it's none of my business, Norman, but are you sure you're doing the right thing, letting her sell the factory, I mean?
I think so, Frank. She's been using it as a sort of weapon over my head for years, and over Williams, too. In the long run, she'll be better off without it. This man Maxwell could drive her out of business anyhow, the way things have been going.
Why? Hasn't the factory been doing well?
Not very well in the last year or two. Oh, but speaking of the factory, would you like to have a look at it?
Very much. Would you show us around?
I can't right now. I have to help Aunt Hester with some of her papers. But why don't you see it for yourself? It's just over that hill.
Well, is it open on Saturday?
No, but William's there now. The doors will be open and you'll find him in his office. I sort of give you something to do while you're waiting.
All right, fine. We'll stroll over then. How about it, Inza? Want to come along?
No, I don't think so, Frank. I'd rather just relax here in the garden.
Then we'll see you soon. Come on, Bart.
I'll be right here. Looks like Spy's going with them.
He's a pretty fickle cat. Shall I call him back?
No, no, let him go. I'll forgive him if he doesn't stay too long.
This is quite a plant, Frank.
It's too bad it hasn't been doing so well. The equipment seems to be in good shape.
Well, that must be the office down this card. You know, I hope Norman isn't making a mistake.
I don't think he is, Bart. In the long run, it's better for him to get out from under his aunt's influence.
She's certainly a strange character.
I understand she never recovered from the accidental death of her fiancé.
Yeah, that's too bad, isn't it? No, this is the office door. Should we go right in?
Well, Norman said his cousin William would be here.
I don't see anybody.
That's right, Mr. Maxwell. $50,000 in cash.
Well, that's William's voice, but where is he?
Very well. Here it is. Let me see now. Oh, you can count it yourself.
Gosh, I don't know. Look, the voices are coming from that wall ventilator. William must be down in the basement with someone.
$50,000. Right. You're paying the old girl by check, of course.
Naturally. It all has to look legal.
Bart, we ought to listen. I don't like this.
William, your aunt doesn't suspect anything, does she?
Not a thing. It worked perfectly.
What the dickens are they up to? Shh. Listen.
I've got to give you credit, William. I didn't think you could swing it.
Oh, I don't know why. I'm clever enough to be selling you all that unlabeled soap from here for over a year now.
Yes, and a tidy profit, too. But I didn't think you could persuade the old girl to sell out.
Well, I did. That's all that matters. You're getting your factory cheap for $100,000 like you wanted, and I'm raking off half of it. What could be sweeter?
I'd better be getting over to your aunt's. Are you coming?
Well, not yet. It'll look better if we arrive separately. Besides, I have some papers here I want to destroy before the sale.
Suit yourself. I'll see you over there. Right.
Well, I'll be. How do you like that?
I say Cousin William is quite a rat, Bart.
Well, what are we going to do? We can't let him get away with this. He's cheating that woman out of $50,000.
Maybe. Let's get to him before he has a chance to destroy those papers. There's the room, right out of the office.
And there's a light burning. Hurry up, he's still in there.
Oh, you gentlemen looking for me?
Yes, come in. Glad to have you drop around.
Thanks.
I see you haven't destroyed those papers.
Papers? I don't quite follow.
The next time you have a secret conference, don't stand right under an air vent.
We were up in the office and heard every word.
Oh?
Don't try to lie about it. We know the whole story. You've been cheating your aunt for over a year now, selling unlabeled soap to this fellow Maxwell, and now selling the factory and pocketing half the price.
You did hear a lot, didn't you?
Enough to spoil your deal. Now hand over those papers. We're going to show them to your aunt.
As you wish, Mr. Merriwell. But perhaps you'd like to see what I have in my pocket.
This.
A gun.
Don't take a step toward me.
Yeah, that's better. Don't move now. I just as soon shoot as not. Might save me a good deal of trouble.
What are you going to do?
Keep you out of the way until the deal is closed.
And after that?
I'll be on my way out of the country. So long, gentlemen.
Too bad you had to interfere. Too bad for you.
No use, Bart. We can't hope to break up.
Oh, that door must be 6 inches thick.
You're right.
We're trapped. We'll never be able to get back to the house and stop the sale.
Look at all these boxes stored down here. Let's see what's in them.
Here's one that's open. It's nothing but soap.
Unwrapped and unlabeled soap. Part of the stock William has been selling on the sly to Maxwell for the past year.
Yeah, he must have made a small fortune for himself out of that.
But it's still not getting us out of here. I wish there were only a small window or some other opening around here.
And what's that?
Spy. How did he get down here?
What do you know? Come to think of it, I do remember his following us when we left the garden. I bet he's sorry now. Aren't you, Spy? Even a cat can't get out of here.
I know it. Hey, maybe that's our answer.
What are you talking about, Frank?
Let's look at that tin pipe over there.
What, you mean up here near the ceiling? Well, it's just an old drain pipe.
Yes, but it's high enough to lead us to the ground level of the building, and it's big enough for Spy to crawl through, all right.
But that doesn't help us.
It would, if we only had some way to write a note and tie it on him. I'll bet he'd go right back to the house if we put him in that pipe.
Well, maybe, but what's the use? We tied a piece of paper to him and it'd come off when he crawled through the pipe.
I know. Let me think. Look, get a piece of cord from one of these cartons.
What are you going to do?
I'll show you. While you're getting the cord, I want to make sure the pipe's empty. Let me push one of these cartons over here. That'll do it. Now to reach the pipe with this stick. There.
Sounds empty, all right.
It is. That's all we have to know.
Here's the cord, Frank.
Good. Here, Spy. Come here, kitty. That's a boy. Now, with any luck at all, you're going to get us out of this. In time, too.
Oh, hello, Norman.
Hello there, Enza. Just about ready for the signing now. Where are Frank and Bart?
They haven't returned from the factory.
That's strange. William just came back. I asked him if he'd seen them over there, and he said he hadn't.
Well, how queer. They said they didn't expect to stay at the factory very long. You don't suppose anything could have happened to them, do you?
Oh, they'll turn up all right.
Spy, where did you come from?
I thought the cat wandered off with them.
Well, he did. I guess he was bored and decided to come back home. Here, kitty, come on up on Enza's lap. Come on, come on. That's the way.
I better be getting back inside.
Oh, Norman, Norman, just a minute.
Yeah?
How long has Spy worn a ring around his neck?
A ring? What on earth are you talking about?
Look for yourself. It's a man's ring tied with a piece of cord. Looks like a Yale class ring. Is it yours?
No, certainly not. Let's see it. Yeah, hold still, Spy. That's a boy.
Wait a minute, Norman. That ring looks familiar. Huh? Almost like... Yes, it is. It's Frank.
Frank's? Are you sure? Hey, you're right. What do you suppose...
Norman, something's happened to them. I know it. They tied this ring around Spy's neck to warn him.
I wonder...
And they must be locked up someplace. Otherwise, they'll come here themselves.
I think you're right, Enza.
Shouldn't we call William or somebody for help?
No. We'll go to the factory alone. Come on.
That looks bad, Frank. Even if Enza did see the cat, it must be too late by now.
Well, there's nothing else we can do, Bart.
Frank, listen. Footsteps. Someone's in the office overhead. Do you think it could be Enza?
We'll find out. Come on, this ventilator. Enza! Can you hear me? Enza!
Frank, where are you?
It is Enza.
Locked in the basement directly below you. Hurry!
This is Norman, Frank. We'll be right down.
Your trick was spy work, even if it wasn't in time.
Maybe there's still time if they'll just hurry. Here they come. Hurry, Enza!
Frank, for goodness sake, what's going on?
Are you both all right?
Yes, but quick. Has the factory been sold yet?
I don't know. I signed the papers, but Aunt Hester and Maxwell hadn't when I left. They were arguing over some technical point.
Then there might still be time. I can't explain now, but your aunt mustn't sell. Let's go. We've got to run all the way back to the house.
Miss March, I've answered every objection you've raised. I'm beginning to wonder whether you want to go through with this sale or not.
Mr. Maxwell is growing impatient, Aunt Hester. Don't you think you ought to sign?
Very well, William. I don't suppose there's any real point in delaying the proceedings any longer.
Here, Aunt Hester, I have a pen all ready for you.
Thank you, William.
Just a minute, Miss March. Don't sign that paper.
What's the meaning of this intrusion?
Norman, get your friends out of here. Don't you see we're busy?
It's no use, William. Your game is up. Miss March.
Aunt Hester, don't listen to him.
Just a moment, William. Come on, young man. Out with it.
You're being swindled by your nephew. For one thing, Mr. Maxwell is paying $100,000 for the factory, and William is keeping half the money for himself.
It's true, Aunt Hester. Frank and Bart caught them planning it.
I insist these people be cleared from the room.
Mr. Merriwell, if you make an accusation like that, you've got to be prepared to prove it. Where's your evidence?
You know very well you burned all the evidence after you locked us in the factory basement, but you didn't destroy that unlabeled soap you were selling to Maxwell. Explain that if you can.
What is he talking about, William?
This is fantastic. Why, that soap in the basement is inferior grade stock. Defective products that I was hoping to sell cheaply. What's wrong with that?
It's a lie. Aunt Hester, he's been selling your best line on the sly for over a year. That's why the factory wasn't doing what it should.
I can't believe that of William. He's never deceived me as you have, Norman. If William says these charges are false, I believe him.
Thank you, Auntie.
Oh, but Aunt Hester...
You heard your aunt. Now get out of here, all of you.
Miss March, will you believe what I say if I show you that William has $50,000 in cash on his person right this minute?
What? Why, you...
Quiet, William. Young man, that is a fantastic accusation.
Come on, William. If you're innocent, you'll submit to a search.
Oh, no, you don't.
Stop him, Bart. He's headed for the door.
Stand where you are.
William, have you lost your mind? Firearms, my own nephew.
Oh, don't look so shocked, Aunt Hester. Oh. And don't move either. I'm not afraid to shoot.
William, I'm ordering
you. Be careful, Aunt Hester. Don't move anybody. You better get out, Maxwell.
Miss March, I assure you I knew nothing about this. I'm completely innocent. Oh. Your nephew is responsible.
Get out, Maxwell.
But this will ruin me. The scandal...
You heard me. Get out. I mean now.
I've never been so insulted in my life. I had nothing to do with this. Nothing. It's a disgrace. That's what I've done.
The rats always bleat when they're leaving the ship. Aunt Hester, if you're wise, you'll keep quiet about this. The scandal will finish you. I've got my $50,000 and you'll get along somehow. Maxwell won't be able to do anything. He's in this too. So, just everybody keep quiet. I'll be out of the country in 24 hours.
Frank, the cat, look.
Quiet, Enza. Get him, Bart!
Just don't cry, my darling. Oh, my poor kitty.
I've got the gun, Frank.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
Nice sock, Frank.
Well, there's your nephew, Miss March. There's $50,000 in his pocket. It belongs to you.
Oh, young man, I don't know what to say. I to think that my own nephew would do this.
You excuse us, Miss March. We're sorry if you're upset, but we've got a boat race to win.
Isn't it exciting, Miss March? Look at that Yale crew row.
Well, I must say it was very thoughtful of your young man, Miss Burrage, to arrange for us to see the crew race in this launch.
Miss Frank thought you'd like to see your nephew help Yale beat Harvard.
But Norman knew about my phobia. Whatever made him imagine I'd accept?
Well, Frank loves sports so much, I suppose he can't conceive of anyone not liking them.
I must say, he's a dreadfully cocksure young man.
The fact remains, you're here.
Yes, I am. Give me...
Oh, look, the Harvard shell is closing up a little. Come on, Frank. Row, you've got to win.
Oh, my. They can't lose now, can they? Pull that oar, Norman. Pull that oar, or I'll disinherit you all over again.
And so ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction, brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at this same time when Frank Merriwell returns with another exciting adventure. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe, Bot is Hal Studer, and Inza is Elaine Rust. Other members of the cast were Grace Keddy, Nat Polin, Lamont Johnson, Dick Sanders, and Brad Barker. Original music is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch, and the entire production is under the direction of Harry Junkin. If you're a young woman looking for an interesting, profitable, and worthwhile career, you can't do better than to investigate the opportunities that are waiting for you if you sign up as a student nurse. Interesting because your nurse's training will equip you to fill any job you choose from among the many varied positions offered by the field of nursing. Profitable because more nurses are needed now than ever before, and you know that your future will always be secure. Worthwhile because the subject you study will give you the best possible background for homemaking and leadership in community life. And the work that you'll do is in the service of humanity. For all these reasons, don't delay. Check with your local hospital immediately and enroll for training as a student nurse. Don't forget to meet the Meeks.